All right. Howard, Scott, anything you all would like to discuss before I get started?
Yeah, just a couple of quick updates for us. And tell Laura, you know, it was nothing personal about scheduling. It was just really difficult. There was a period where there was 7 straight weeks where the 5 of us were never together in the same week. Vacation, sickness, appendix surgery, lots of things that happened. That's one thing about us. So we are still working and, you know, moving along. And through August 31, we're up 7% over last year. And then the other big change for you, well, 2 other things. We're going through a manager transition. There was a manager that was brought in, and he, for simple terms, is being moved back to a financial advisor. So we're going back to the other manager, which doesn't really affect us, but it does a little bit. It just kind of makes things – had made things difficult, but it's getting back to normal. And then more importantly for KLK, Donald is going to retire as of September 30th. So we've been working on that with Donald and Stiefel, and now just started communicating that on Friday to clients and working through that the last couple months. So we've been busy.
Do you sense any issues with Donald retiring as far as retention of clients?
Should be zero, but, you know, once again, you know, you never know, but there's possibilities. But, you know, Donald hasn't had direct face-to-face with clients for 2 years, so he's had some – I mean, he hasn't been the primary in any of the accounts. We do all the work, the admin. He may talk to people more socially or more generically, but, no, we've been the primary for all those. But, once again, a change gives people a chance, so we could get surprised, but there shouldn't be.
Good. Good. I should ask, do you all have anybody down in Florida who's affected?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, quite a few.
Most have left, but some stay.
All right. You got any family members down there?
Well, Donald was there. He just left on Thursday afternoon. We tried to get him to go early, and then finally Thursday decided to leave.
We
made it up here late Saturday night.
Where is he? In Florida. Where was he?
He's in Boca Del Rey area.
Yeah.
And they lost power before the storm. They lost power on Saturday at 4. So who knows when they're ever going to get power back.
Yeah, that's a mess.
It's going to go back up in 2 weeks too, right?
Yeah.
All right, let me catch up on a couple of things. You told me when we first started that your goal was to add $8 million in new assets or $75,000 each in new fee-based business. Where do you stand versus those goals?
So as of – I haven't done all of September, but through July, we had raised $8 million total between Scott and I. So a little bit behind the 16 for the two of us. And then fees, we were a little bit behind as well. I'm trying to picture it. I think fees, we were – I don't know. I don't want to guess on fees. I'm not sure. I'll tell you the next time we get together.
Okay.
Or I can email it to
you. All right. All right. That'd be good. I'd like to have it.
Fees and
when we started Supernova, you told me your reason for being involved, you wanted to be more productive. And you said you gave great service, but you hadn't yet branded it. Again, I know these are quantitative or qualitative, not quantitative. Where do you think you stand with those two?
I think we're much better in having this Supernova conversations with the people we've had. And then Peter and I worked with advertising and graphics and updated our marketing materials. And I think that started like in March or April.
Yeah.
And I think we're 90-something percent done. Our website, LinkedIn, brochure, logo, tagline. We haven't done the door yet. I think it looks really clean, professional, and I think as we've been handing them out, I think it's been well received.
So you feel you're being more proactive through the scheduled contact. And you feel that the branding of what you all are doing, your service model, is where you want it or close to where you want it.
Yes. And so I'll give you an example. So I met with two new docs on Friday, and I was just telling Tricia and Peter, and we were talking about level of service, and they said they didn't get to talk to their advisor as much as they thought, and I talked about the Supernova level of service, and it really seemed to resonate with them, you know, because they said that was the one thing, is they just didn't talk to the person as much as they kind of had wished. And once again, it's both sides, but they really liked the idea of the story of the Supernova.
And are you say they're new clients or they're new prospects?
Prospects.
Okay. How did you get in front of those guys? What caused that that meeting, Howard?
There was an old advisor at Stiefel, a friend of mine in my roundtable, that left and went to Morgan Stanley, and he asked me if I would take these two clients on for him. That they were really good doctors, putting in a lot of money, and he really liked them, but he couldn't take them with him, and asked me if I would meet with them. And so I went down and met with them, and you know, they'll get to decide whether they, you know, they're not going to go with him, either go with somebody else or, you know, go with us.
All right. When you walked away from that meeting, how did you feel about your chances of landing those folks?
You know, it was an hour and a half the three of us sat and talked, so I thought it was a good dialogue. They asked good questions. They seemed engaged. You know, they seemed like they fit the prototype, you know. They have the right sums of money. They're adding money to it. They understand the service. They want to delegate. They're looking for help. And I think their expectations were in line.
Another big benefit for that kind of meeting, you know, and Howard and I have one with another doctor at 10:15 this morning who's a referral. But the whole Supernova, and like Howard said, that, you know, speaking to their advisor and all that, you know, monthly conversations, quarterly face to face, or, you know, depending, you know, on the schedule, they're out of town, so it might not be quarterly, at least once a year face to face. That kind of stuff is so much easier to do from the onset with a new client than it seems to be from trying to talk to a client about how you're redefining your practice and this and that. So it's really more exciting to have these new opportunities to build them into the process.
Hey, it's Patty. Good morning. Sorry I'm late.
Hey, Patty.
Just to let you know, we got a funny phone call about 3 weeks ago. We thought it was a crazy person. It turns out, you want to tell them?
There was another doctor who called in. He was with Stiefel in Pittsburgh. And we just don't get calls like that. And he said he just looked us up and he said he wanted to move his account to Cincinnati because he had been living in Cincinnati now for a couple years, and he wanted to come in. And I didn't know if it was a farce or whatever, so I asked the guy to come in, and he was legit. Peter found him on the web. He is a doctor down at UC in the medical center of the VA, and so we're going to
–
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, so we'll, we might have him come in. We'll see.
But we don't take calls like, you know, we don't.
Yeah, I was skeptical, let's just say that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, crazy people sometimes have money, Patty.
Yeah.
All right. Good. All good stuff. These two doctors, Howard, just to spend a second.
Yeah.
If they choose you, here would be my recommendation. Again, you're on the ground. You know whether it's appropriate or not. But it's a great question to ask them or make the statement, I know you are talking to other people. It always helps us refine our practice when we find out why people choose us. Could you share with me what made us attract? You know how to ask. You know the question I'm asking, right?
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, and then if they do choose you, that is a recognition of value.
Right.
As we've talked, you know where I'm going with this, with the MIPSA. I'm not a big fan of asking a new client for referrals right off the bat. It's like you're taking your eye off of them and seeing what they can do for you rather than vice versa. But there might be a time 6 months after they choose you that you say, I'd just like to go back and if we could, and revisit when we first got together. You told me why you had chosen us. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate however you want to phrase it? I just want to raise the level of consciousness as far as getting into referral conversation. Does that sound okay?
For sure. Yeah, for sure, because this doctor, the one doctor, is the head of the radiation something there, so he is certainly influential.
Yeah. And those folks talk. When I was in production, this goes back to the early 80s in Springfield, Illinois, I had a whole clinic of doctors, and I went to one of their board meetings, and I thought they'd be talking about curing cancer and all these other things. You know what they were talking about? They were talking about production, literally. They were talking about how much business each doctor was doing. It was a real eye-opener for me. So those folks talk, and they know who's doing a good job and who's not doing such a good job. All right, I want to go back to a sample brand we discussed earlier in Supernova, and I'm going to circle back when I give you this sample brand, and I'd like for you to update me on where you think you are against each of these. Here's the sample brand. I have a concierge practice for a limited number of people. Number two, my practice is planning-driven. Number three, I have a formal investment process. And the fourth part is my practice is wrapped by unparalleled service. So as you go back and look against that sample brand, can you say you have a concierge practice for a limited number of people?
For sure.
Very, very important. Is your practice planning driven?
Yes.
Do you have
that was one of the things I talked with the docs. Yeah.
Go ahead.
That was what I said. I talked with the docs. The docs, you know, I said this was the emotional interview, get to know each other, see if it makes sense. Step two is now we got to go through the financials and get to know you financially. Step three is then we'll see what we need to do. So, yes, it's totally planning driven.
You have a formal investment process, and you have – I can tell you that with your scheduled contact that you are it's wrapped by unparalleled service. I'm not a big fan of grading on the curve, but you all on an absolute basis – are offering great service. You realize that, correct?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a. If you live up to that sample brand, you're doing great. All right. Supernova is divided into three parts. Just really quickly, segmentation, bringing your practice down to its core. How many people? How many households do you have in the practice right now?
Let's see. It's I have 202 total between the 202 between Scott and I now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does that include butlers?
Yeah.
Yes. It does include butlers. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Patty, what do you think that brings it down to? How many butlers do you think you have?
I have the number. It's
49 total.
So your practice is roughly 150 people between the two of you, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific. Terrific. Patty, any problems with the scheduling?
No. I send out an email about 2 weeks ahead of time to confirm with the clients, and then two weeks before, I give Scott Peter a list, and he'll know who he's meeting with in person so that they know what to pull up, and everybody's ready to go. It's been working very well.
Is it working well for you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not trying to lead you down a path here. Do you feel like you have more control over the process, or the process is more under control?
Absolutely.
Is there anything that Howard or Scott need to do to help you keep that process going?
No. In fact, there's a couple specials where they want to schedule once in a blue moon with Howard, and we've been keeping that list too, and I'm trying to keep him balanced, you know, on the weeks and the days. And so, you know, so far so good.
Terrific, terrific. So segmentation, that's a continual process. The way you grow a supernova practice is you raise your minimum and deal with fewer clients. Right now you're dealing with roughly 75 clients each. That's a great number. Organization, Patty, you tell me you're in great shape there. That brings us to the third part of Supernova, which is acquisitions. Your net new relationships, Howard, you said you had about $8 million in new money, correct?
Yes. I think it's only two so far this year. We're really down as far as net new. We usually average about 10. I think this year's only two so far.
Are you saying two new clients?
Correct.
All right. And you usually do 10. Those two new clients, Howard, how did they come to you?
Well, it had to be a referral.
Both of those were referrals.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So does it make sense that that our focus going forward, I mean, we're scheduled for 9 monthly meetings. The majority of the focus ought to be on acquisition. It looks pretty obvious to me. Does it look that way to you and Scott?
Yes, because that's the last thing we ever focus on.
Right. And I think it, you know.
We just kind of let it happen.
I'm going to put myself under the bus, but, you know, all of our business comes from referrals. So, and I think we need to continue to work better on talking to clients and during our calls. And getting that referral process going.
And
spheres
of influence.
And spheres of influence. So I think that you know, to your acquisition point, certainly is a weakness. Yeah.
For sure.
And, you know, but, you know, we do have Howard has two nice, you know, successful meetings from some, you know, very warm referrals. Last week we have one, you know, in a half hour from, you know, existing client. This is these medical doctors, to your point, they speak to each other. So this is an existing client's partner, business partner, who was going to work with us 6 months ago, then they decided not to, and now they're back again. So it's interesting.
But it is hard, Rob, because we've also had a couple of deaths this year.
More.
So we've had, you know, so you lose money sometimes there because, you know, whatever may happen. So, you know, I would say you're going to lose 5% due to whatever before the year starts. You got to even just break even, you got to be at 5. And so for us to be up 7 this year, you know, we're doing well, but we got to keep working on it. So I think acquisition would be great for us to focus on.
You're always going to lose some. They get mad at you, they move, or they die.
Right.
You're right. You're shrinking usually if you're. You got to bring in to stay even.
Right.
I think the important thing for this team is to be highly conscious of having referral conversations. Now, I'll say what I said to you before. Every time you see a client is not the right time to start a referral conversation.
Right.
Comes across as insincere. The focus is on you, not them. But the other end is equally unacceptable, and that's never starting referral conversations. The right answer is somewhere in the middle. Let me tell you an ugly story. I'm working with a fellow down in South Carolina who had a client who was part of a public corporation that had an adjustment to their compensation plan for executives, and action was required by a deadline. The campus of this company, he says, is like an armed fortress. It's almost impossible to get entrance into that company. He had one client there, and he helped the client through the deadline. And then after the deadline had passed, the client said to him, "Frank, I should have had you do a meeting for other executives." Here's an armed fort, a publicly traded company, has highly paid executives who had to do something, and the FA, when he told me that story, I said, why weren't you more proactive? And he said, I thought about it, but I just didn't want to seem pushy. And we've all gone through that. We don't want to seem pushy, but here was a client who in retrospect said I should have had you out, which what I make up from that, if Frank had been proactive, would have said, sure, let me put a meeting together. Now, the reason I tell you the story is it's important that clients want to help us. Everybody in your practice likes you, or they would leave. There are a lot, and a lot of your clients, you don't want to hear this, but it's true for everybody. A lot of your clients are on somebody else's prospect list, but they've chosen to stay with you. You've got a lot of long-term relationships. What people at your level sometimes do is they aren't consistently, and the key here is consistently, in referral conversations. So in your clients don't think about waking up in the morning and saying, we got to give old Scott a referral. They just don't think that way. We have to keep it in front of them. So it's important for us to start referral discussions. Now, we've talked about some of them. We haven't gotten to all of them, and I know you all are a little tight schedule today. You got a meeting in 20 minutes. The most obvious is the VIPSA conversation. And I know it's...
Rob, can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
So in our last 5 minutes, see if you can help me with this. So we have a program called the Alliance Program here at Stifel, where we can pay out 25 basis points of fees to professional advisors. So an accounting firm, a law firm. So we just signed a contract with an executive recruiting firm to do that with us. And so the CEO of the company is going to come over, I think it's next Wednesday, and we're trying to figure out what's the best way for us to articulate this for him to his clients who he's working with who are in these transitions. So in a couple minutes, what are the three or four things we should put together to arm him with or provide him, you know, one pagers on us, or what's the things we should give him to help start these conversations with these people he's working with?
All right. This is all fully disclosed, right? And it's not, the pay is not on commissions. It's on fees.
On fees, correct. And it's fully disclosed. Client's got to sign it.
Okay. All right. He's not going to blow up a relationship for 25 basis points.
Right.
So what you have to, the number one thing, Howard, is you have to make him understand what you all do. What a
right.
client is going to get from you.
Right.
He's got to understand what your team delivers, so you can make him a better salesman for you all.
Right.
I think to let him know, the practice overview I think would be a great start.
Gotcha.
Let him,
The practice overview, that's a good idea. See, that's what I hadn't thought about, giving him that piece.
It's what about their resume or their whatever with that?
Whose resume?
Yours.
Say it again, you broke up, Patty.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you broke up. I didn't hear what you said.
I said their resume that goes with the consulting agreement when we set the consulting information that goes out, the one-page bio on each of you.
I think that's a good idea. Everybody has a bio, and don't get me. I'm not minimizing what you just said. I think it's a good idea. I think the practice overview is more personal. It's specific. You're never going to have an advisor sit down with a prospective client and say, well, you know, I give really mediocre service. You want to be specific. Here is who we are.
Yep.
This is what you can expect from us. And this is what we expect from you. I think it's very powerful. The client, the person who you're meeting with, needs to know that you all don't take everybody. And
right.
Because you're arrogant, but because you can never let the growth of your practice compromise the service you give to existing clients. That's why you have significantly reduced the size of your practice. All of those things that set you apart. Most people would go in there and talk about how good they are in the market and they've beaten this index or that index or whatever. They have the perfect asset allocation. Everybody has that. Not everybody has a concierge practice for a limited number of people.
Right.
That's planning driven, all of that. So I can't think of anything better than the practice overview and making sure that he knows that you all have an intentionally smaller practice.
Yeah, that's a good point. We don't have that, what I call it, our gray folders, like when I just met with these doctors. That was not in what I gave them. We need to do that.
Yeah, you really do, because it's strong. I mean, what you have, it goes on high-quality paper, and it's something along the lines. I think the picture I painted for you all before is you've made a pitch to somebody, you've bar charts, graphs, multicolored and all that, and you say, we've talked about a lot of things here that are important today, but I really think it's important that you know who we are. Here is a one-page overview of what KLK is and what we do. Clients don't always read everything that you give them. You figured that out a long time ago, but most clients will read a one-page bullet point overview of your practice.
Perfect.
All right.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
All right,
what I would
do. I'm going on.
Say it again.
I have a 10 o'clock. I'm going to excuse myself.
Okay. Let me close with one thing. Here's what I'd like for you all to do between now and our next meeting is track the number of referral conversations that you start. You have no control over people giving you referrals, but you do have control over starting conversations.
Perfect.
VIPSA conversation, whatever. You and Howard Howard, you and Scott track those conversations. You want to track activity, and then the results usually take care of themselves.
Perfect. That's a great idea.
All right,
okay.
Folks. Hope to talk to you next
time.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Rob.
Bye.